So I realized I've been here almost a year, and I don't think I've really shared much of my vocation story with you. And I actually wrote this homily before I realized it was National Vocations Weekend, so that was just providential. But so I wanted to share a bit. It also just ties in with the gospel. So I wanted to be a priest since before I remember. To be honest, I was like 4 or 5, and I was, you know, saying things to my mom, like, I want to be a priest, and just attracted to it for whatever reason. I don't really know why. But then I spent a lot of time and energy pushing that away in middle school and high school. But a big moment came to me. I had the opportunity to go on a Rome pilgrimage the summer before my senior year. And I remember the vocation director was with us, Father Josh Waltz. And he said, you know, if there's anybody thinking about the priesthood, we're going to visit all these amazing sites and holy places and saints, and just say a prayer everywhere we go, and the Lord will speak to you, tell you your vocation. I'm like, well, that sounds easy. So I did that, and God didn't say anything, and I was happy about that. I was like, great. I gave him a chance. He didn't deliver, so I can move on with my life. But no, he did say something. It just wasn't at a holy place. I had kind of given up on it, and we were just driving back to the campus just hours before we were going to leave Rome. It was on the bus, and I was talking with the priest, and through our conversation, the Lord just made it so clear to me. He made not my vocation initially. The grace was this. He gave me the grace to believe that what he wanted for me was good. That it was that simple. It struck me, I didn't really believe that before. Like, I knew it in my mind, you know. I went to Catholic schools, I had a Catholic family, you know. If you would have had me on a test, you know, does God want what's good for you? I would have said yes. But I didn't really believe that. I thought, he's trying to take away the joys of like family life and marriage and children and engineering, what I wanted to do. So in that moment, this gospel sort of became true. Jesus tells the people, I am the good shepherd. It's like one of our great sort of cliches in our, like, Jesus is the good shepherd. We see the images of the sheep and like, that's nice. And we know that intellectually, as I said, like, yeah, we know that. But the thing is, everyone, the truths of the faith, the things that Jesus says, the things that the church teaches, they're not just ideas. They're things that should shape our very experience of God. And the truth that God is good and that what he wants for me is good was not my experience as a younger person. And so I ask you, does the truth that Jesus is the good shepherd shape your experience? How much do you believe that what God wants for you in all domains of your life is good? It's challenging. And then I realized this. So in my senior class, we go over original sin. We talk about how sin has affected us. And it's interesting. The catechism says this on original sin. It says, man tempted by the devil, let trust in his creator die in his heart. And abusing his freedom, disobeyed God's command. So, right, that's what happened in Adam and Eve. Trust died in their heart. They sinned. All subsequent sin, everything after that is a lack of trust in his goodness. Right? It's not, I hate God, or I, you know, the church, I don't need her. It's, I just don't really trust that he wants what's good. And so I give my students this image. It's like original sin, how it affects us. It's not really like are the sins that we commit. I said, it's more like, I don't know if they still do this, but when I was in high school, you know, this person would come and talk about like safe, don't drunk drive. And then they had those goggles, you know, that they put on your face. And you like can't see straight, and then you have to try and walk the line. I said, original sin is more like the goggles. It skews our vision of God. It skews the way we look at one another. It's not like an act. It's more like a disease that we've been given. And so Jesus needs to purify that and actually like change our minds. Right? And I wonder if this isn't at the heart of so much of the difficulty in our Christian life. A lack of trust in his goodness. And so then what do we do? What's our other option? Is spend an immense amount of time and energy seeking goodness everywhere else. Right? Many of you are familiar with St. Augustine, right? He's the kind of the famous like saint sinner, right? But he realized later in his life, like, I wanted to be honored by everyone. I wanted to be loved by everyone. He went after women and money and fame and honor. But he said, in all those things, I just wanted to be good. I just wanted goodness, but I was looking in the wrong place. And how true is that? What was interesting then, after like this grace came to me, my vocation was like abundantly clear. It was like, of course it's this. Like, this is all you've ever wanted. But how would I say yes to God in a vocation if I don't even believe what he wants for me is good? And so he kind of had to do that first. But then once that conviction was in me, it was like everything else was easy. Like, whatever you want, God, I trust you. Like, I believe you. Even if I don't see maybe how I could be happy without a family of my own, I trust you. Right? And he's delivered. And so St. John in the second reading is very wise to say to the Christian community, see what love the Father has bestowed on us and letting us be called children of God. Right? It's another one of those cliches. We're a child of God. But John's like, do you see it? Do you see what love he's bestowed on us? And that's what we're still in Easter, you know, our candles here. It's like, that's what he's doing, Jesus is doing. We were at clergy conference last week, and the guy, this is a fun question. He looked at all the priests, and he's like, did Jesus have to suffer crucifixion to save us? Right? Like, he goes through the whole rigmarole of Gethsemane and the scourging. Like, was that really necessary? And the answer is no, actually. He could have just said, you're saved. But all the saints will say, it was fitting that he went through that to show us how much he loved. Like, what better way to show you and I the lengths he's willing to go to say, trust my goodness. And so everyone, as the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, for us, and we approach him in the Eucharist, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for us once again this Sunday, gives himself to you and I. May we ask for the grace for a deepened trust that what he wants is truly good.